This episode is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies.
I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during April. First, we'll check in with the moon, spot four planets before dawn and one more after sunset, learn about the celestial twins, and hunt for meteors toward month's end. So grab your curiosity and come along on this month's Sky Tour. This is one of the better months for stargazing. Spring evenings are generally pleasant, and the bugs haven't taken control yet. Even with daylight time in effect, evening twilight comes fairly early. You'll find that the sun sets between 7:30 and 8 during most of this month, and by 9 p.m. it's good and dark. As was the case in February and again in March, the moon runs through its cycle of phases in a way that closely matches the April calendar. For example, new moon falls on the 1st, followed by first quarter on the 9th. Full moon arrives on the 16th. This one is known as the full pink moon because the pretty pink flowers of wild phlox make their appearance this month in many parts of North America. Last or third quarter moon is April 23rd. We squeeze in a second new moon this month on April 30th, and it's special because it crosses in front of most of the sun that day, creating a deep partial solar eclipse. Unfortunately, the viewing zone is very, very far south in the Pacific Ocean. Anyone in Chile and nearby along the western coast of South America can watch the eclipse at sunset, but they'll be the lucky few. The event won't be seen farther north or anywhere else in the Western Hemisphere. Ah, too bad. If you haven't been up before dawn in a while, your gaze will undoubtedly be drawn to something odd and very bright over in the east, down near the horizon. Is that a UFO? A jet plane on final approach? A supernova? No, it's the planet Venus, which has been a brilliant beacon in the hours before sunrise since the first weeks of January. Venus looks so astoundingly bright for two reasons. First, it's relatively close to both the Sun and Earth. And second, it's completely covered by highly reflective clouds. Venus provides a celestial guidepost to a really interesting dance of the planets playing out this month in the pre-dawn sky. The curtain rises on April 5th. Head outside about 45 minutes before sunrise and find a spot with a clear view towards southeast. Venus will be unmistakable, a dazzling beacon not far above the horizon. Now look to its right by about 7 degrees. That's about the width of four fingers held together on your outstretched arm. There you'll find not one, but two tiny stars that are really close together. But these aren't stars at all. The one on top is Saturn, and the lower one is Mars. Now, because of its orbital motion, Mars has been pretty much staying put in the pre-dawn sky the past few weeks. So has Venus. But Saturn is being dragged upward along with the stars around it. So on April 1st, Saturn is off to the lower left of Mars, and then closes the gap very quickly. The two planets are closest together on the 5th, and after that, Saturn pulls away from Mars and continues to scoot toward its upper right. It's a fascinating pas de deux, well worth watching. Saturn is nearly a billion miles from Earth, but Mars is much closer, merely 130 million miles away. But that's just the opening act. If you keep watching until about 30 minutes before sunrise, you'll see a fourth planet make its way onto the pre-dawn stage, very low in the east. That's Jupiter, and like Saturn, it's going to climb steadily into the sky over the next days and weeks. So Jupiter will be moving toward Venus and Mars in the eastern sky, while Saturn is moving away from them. An amazing consequence of this shuffling comes on April 18th, when, remarkably, all four planets will appear equally spaced along a straight line about as long as the width of three clenched fists at arm's length. It'll be both gawk-worthy and enlightening. That line of planets traces out the ecliptic, the path of the sun's motion among the stars, and, in a broader sense, the plane of our solar system, in which the orbits of all the major planets lie. I've definitely got the 18th, the day after Easter, circled on my calendar. But wait, there's more. As Venus stays put, more or less, and Jupiter continues its climb, a meeting of these two bright planets is bound to happen. And it does. First, on the morning of April 27th, these two beacons will be just 3 degrees apart and joined by a slender crescent moon that's sliding beneath them. Then, on April 30th, watch for brilliant Jupiter and 7 times brighter Venus side by side in the pre-dawn sky, less than 0.5 degrees apart. You'll be able to cover them both with a fingertip. It's been a long, long time since we've enjoyed so much planetary leapfrogging in a single month. So I hope you'll get up and get outside to enjoy it all. Now, where's Mercury in all of this, you might ask? Well, to spot the fast-moving planet, we need to shift our view to the evening sky. First, let's set the stage. Start looking over in the west about a half hour after sunset. In early April, as twilight deepens, you'll spot the last vestiges of the northern winter sky. Orion is there, getting ready to exit. Look for the 3 stars in a horizontal row that mark the hunter's belt. Use this belt as your starting point. 1 fist higher up is the bright star Betelgeuse, and 1 fist lower down is equally bright Rigel. These 2 stars frame Orion's body. Now, look a little wider. About 2 fists to the left of the belt is Sirius, the brightest star in the nighttime sky. And 2 fists to the right is Aldebaran, marking the eye of Taurus, the celestial bull. Now slide your gaze to the right of Aldebaran by 1.5 fists, and you'll spot the compact cluster of stars called the Pleiades. I want you to track them down, and I'll explain why in a moment. They'll be easiest to see early in April, when they're still high enough above the western horizon at dusk. To help you, look for a thin crescent moon on April 4th, and the Pleiades will be just a few degrees to its upper right. Night by night throughout April, all of the stars I just mentioned will slowly slide toward the western horizon. But meanwhile, Mercury is popping into view, low in the west, right over the sunset point. During the second half of April, find a vantage point with a clear view toward the western horizon, and you should be able to spot Mercury pretty easily, beginning about 45 minutes after sunset. In fact, late April will give you the best chance all year of spotting this planet. And on April 29th, you'll find Mercury just 1.5 degrees to the lower left of the Pleiades. That is, they'll be separated by the width of your index finger at arm's length. Through binoculars, this will be quite a sight. So circle April 29th on your sky-watching calendar, too. Let's track down some other stars in the evening sky. Well above Sirius and Orion, about halfway from the southwestern horizon to overhead, is the bright star Procyon, in the constellation Canis Minor, the little dog. Now swing your gaze to Procyon's right by 5 fists and roughly as high up to spot the bright star Capella. In between Procyon and Capella, and a little higher up, are a nice pair of equally bright stars. These are Castor and Pollux, the twins of Gemini. Can you tell which is which? Just remember that Pollux, on the left, is closer to Procyon, and both names begin with a P. Castor, on the right, is closer to Capella, and both of those begin with a C. Pollux is also a little brighter, in part because it's closer to us, just 34 light-years away compared to 52 for Castor. These 2 stars mark the heads of mythology's twin brothers, by different fathers, it seems, and at this time of year their heads are on top of their bodies, which hang side by side toward the horizon. Now turn to face north. Raise your gaze high, and you'll immediately recognize our old friend the Big Dipper. It's positioned with its bowl at upper left and its handle curving toward lower right. According to old farmer's lore, it's upside down as if dumping April showers. I want to mention 4 quick things before closing. First, April is the month of the Lyrid meteor shower, which peaks on the night of April 22nd. These shooting stars seem to radiate from a point in the sky near the constellation Lyra, which rises in late evening. But this year there'll be interference from a last quarter moon. For those in the Americas, your best bet is to be outside in the hours after evening twilight ends, but before moonrise, which is roughly 2 a.m. on the 23rd. Next, during the last 10 days of April, you can participate in the Globe at Night project. This is a fun and easy way for you, your family, and your friends to judge how much light pollution is overhead. You'll be looking to see how many stars you can spot in and around the constellation Leo, which is about halfway up once it gets dark. No equipment or experience is needed. For more details, go to globeatnight.org. Third, at the same time, April 22nd to 30th, we can all celebrate International Dark Sky Week. If you appreciate a really dark night sky, and who doesn't, go to idsw.darksky.org to learn more. And finally, April is Global Astronomy Month. Amateur stargazers worldwide will be participating in all kinds of events at small and large scales. Check out all the plans at gam-awb.org. That's about it for this month. If you want more tips for viewing the night sky, including a free interactive star chart for any time or date, check out our website, skyandtelescope.org. If you haven't already subscribed, you can find this Sky Tour on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. And please, leave a rating or review. I pay close attention to them, and it'll help others find the show. And if you want to explore the solar system and universe more deeply, please do check out the full line of binoculars and telescopes available at Celestron.com. Sky Tour is a production of Sky and Telescope, a division of the American Astronomical Society, and is produced by me, Kelly Beattie. Next month, I'll introduce you to what I call the Swiss Army knife of the night sky. Until then, I wish you clear skies.